this evening. Second Peter, the first chapter, we're still there. But we won't be after this evening. Second Peter, chapter 1. I'll probably just read three verses now, but then I'll probably come back and read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter here in just a few moments. But I want to say something. When we think about Christians, the Bible, the family of God, the family of like precious faith, that's what we've been studying here in Second Peter, the family of like precious faith, they obey the Scriptures. They believe the Scriptures, and they obey the Scriptures. Now, look here in verse 19, and then, like I said, I'll come back in a moment and read the rest. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say something. I was a former Catholic. I think there's several in here that probably were as well. One of the differences, and maybe the biggest difference, I'll give you two, all right? I'll limit myself to only two. But one of the biggest differences between Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity is this. Bible Christians believe the Bible is their authority. Catholics do not believe the Bible is their authority. They believe the church is their authority. Charismatics believe experience is their authority. This is what happened, and so they make experience super, super important to them. But to a Bible Christian, the Bible is our authority. I came out of Catholicism where the church was the authority. I remember witnessing to my mother one day, and this is no fun to say. I don't believe my mother died and went to heaven. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it for one second. Yeah, it's painful to think about that. But I remember witnessing to her one day, and I had my Bible, and I said, Mom, this is what the Bible says right here. She's sitting on the couch. I can still see it in my head. I'm standing there in front of her. She's sitting on the couch. I said, Mom, this is just what the Bible says. And then she said this, Jeffy, she called me Jeffy. Jeffy, I don't care what the Bible says. I care what the church says. That's true Roman Catholicism. We might have had a Bible in our house. I don't recall ever seeing one there, but we might have. My dad had one in the saddlebag of his motorcycle. He never read it. He just used it for a good luck charm, I guess, is why he had it in there. And you know people have done the same thing. But the church, whatever the church said, that was the authority. But in Bible Christianity, the church isn't the authority. The Bible is the authority. Woo, that came out good. The Bible is the authority. Anyway, my first class I taught this year. So I know we were given a curriculum, Gina, but I always start three or four classes at the beginning of the year of my own. I like my own better, if you want to know the truth. I do better with my own. But anyhow, I taught three or four weeks on the Bible. I taught on inspiration, application, revelation, interpretation, those things. And I want the kids to understand those things. They need to know those things. But there was one main thought that I wanted to leave them, and I wanted them to hang on to when I was done. And you know what that was? The Bible is my authority. In fact, I had a question on a quiz that I wrote, and it was simply said, the Bible is my blank. And I was only going to, and I'm pretty generous, but there was only one answer that I was looking for on that question, and that was our authority. So I want you to listen. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to think about it. You will never esteem Jesus Christ any higher than you esteem his word. Because everything we know about Jesus comes from the word of God. Everything we know about God comes from the word of God. Now, some people say, we love the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I just love the Lord. But I will tell you, if you don't do what Peter said in verse 19, and if you don't take heed to the word of God, I'm going to tell you it is evidence that you really don't love the Lord as you think you do. Or maybe even, I could say, as you ought to do. There was a young gentleman, several years ago, and the guy made a profession of faith, and for several years he served the Lord, and then he quit serving the Lord, and he had multiple affairs on his wife. It's just the guy was a mess. And he says to me one day, Pastor, you know I love the Lord. And I sat there for a minute in shell shock, and I said, I called him by his name. I says, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that you love the Lord. Your life doesn't indicate that you love the Lord. And then I said, we got talking about that, and I said, well, does God ever, because that was the question of his salvation. I says, does God ever chastise you? He says, oh, God chastises me all the time. I says, have you ever thought about getting your life right with God? Yeah, I know I probably, wouldn't it make sense if somebody's being chastised by God and they know they just get right with God? I don't believe he ever got right with God. One of the indications is, and God's got him in jail right now. I don't know how low this guy is going to have to get before God breaks him to the point where he says, I surrender. But he hadn't got there yet. Anyway, the word of God, I can tell you this honestly. I was saved at 21. Whatever you picture is somebody before 21, worldly, carnal, lost, ungodly, wicked, evil person. Okay, that put my face on that. But when I got saved, the word of God changed my life. It just changed my life. And I like to think that my life is based on this blessed old book. That the decisions I make, to the best of my ability, I try to make them in line with the Bible. I try to think like God. I think you ought to try to think like God as well. But let me go back and read this passage again, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now listen, Paul. Peter knew he was going to die. He was going to be deceased. And he wanted them to remember these things. But he wasn't going to be there to tell them about those things. So where are they going to get those things from? That's right. The only place you're going to be able to get them is out of the Bible. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This isn't some fable. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Now you want to talk about an experience, that's an experience. But then he said this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than that experience was the word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time. I turned too many pages. Let me turn, this is that new Bible, I'm breaking it in. And as you can see, I'm struggling. Anyway, there we go. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say some things about the Bible. The scriptures are the writings of God. And this right here, this is a precious treasure. You know, in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21, the Bible's called the scripture of truth. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 16, it's called the writings of God. The word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblios, and it means the book. There's a lot of books in this world, but I'm here to tell you, this is the book. There's none like it. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about Jesus. We refer to this as the book, the scriptures, the writings of God, the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, but the word of God is quick and powerful. And so we can refer to it the Word of God. We refer to it as the Bible. The Bible begins with God. When you open up your Bible to the very first chapter, in the very first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is God's revelation to man. That's what the Bible is. What God has revealed for us to know about him, everything that he wants to know for us to know is right here in the Bible. We don't need extra revelatory anything. We've got all that we need right here in the Bible. By the way, I don't know if you've ever witnessed to a Mormon. I mentioned the Catholics. They believe that the church is their final authority and not the Bible. But the Mormons have a book. Well, they actually have four. But they have a book, the Book of Mormons, that trumps the Bible. So their authority isn't the Bible either. Their authority is the Book of Mormons. The Jehovah's Witnesses use the Bible as well. But they have other books written by Mr. Russell that trump the Bible. And so what you find out in a lot of these places is the Bible is not their final authority. But this is God's revelation of himself to man. God has revealed himself to us in his word. That's how he did it. He's revealed himself to us in creation. That's in Psalm 19, verse 1. He's revealed himself through Jesus Christ when Jesus walked on the earth. And he's revealed himself to us now through the word of God. And God gave us this Bible to bring us to the knowledge of him. So I want to give you three simple thoughts tonight on the Bible. Right out of verse 19 here in chapter 1. I want you to understand that the scriptures are sure. Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. They're sure. How sure are they? They're more sure than the experience that he had on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's pretty sure. Peter had tremendous confidence in the Bible. 2 Peter is a book about the hope we have in the person of Christ our Savior. He said in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance of me. Peter said, after I'm dead and gone, you're going to continue to know the truth and you're going to continue to follow the Lord. But how were they going to do that? Peter wasn't going to be around. They didn't see Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. They're going to do it because they have the Bible. Then you can read verse 16 through 18. There again, I won't take too much more time to do that. But Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's like saying, we saw Jesus in his glory on that mount. Could you imagine being on the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing Jesus and Moses and Elijah? I mean, that would have been something, I got to tell you. But the Spirit of God inspired Peter to write verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, even more sure than that experience that they had. You would have to think, what could be more sure than being an eyewitness of his glory? And you know what Peter said was? The Bible. It's more sure. You and I don't need to regret that we weren't there. He's saying we can have God's word on it. Make sure we've got God's word of prophecy right here. You can count on God's word. It's true. It's sure. It's settled. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. Our age is an age that is characterized by uncertainty. Yet the scripture is sure, and it is true, and you can count on it. It is of great value. It is of great power. And it's the plan of God as revealed to us in the Bible. It's sure. Secondly, look at verse 19 again. The scripture shines. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This is light, and it shines in a dark world, and this world is about as dark as I think it can be, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, who's the day star? The Lord is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the day star. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, I think. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. When we face trials, can I say something? I'm not prepared to give you all the addresses, but I remember doing a study on the NIV Bible one time. Do you know the NIV Bible makes Lucifer and Jesus half-brothers? That's a bad translation of the scriptures. Anyways, maybe I'll come back and teach that here one of these days. But Jesus is the day star, and they've got Lucifer in that same thing. Anyway, we face trials, and our world has light and darkness. And when we are in the dark, you know what we need? We need the light of God's word. The scripture says, when you don't know what to do, you know where you look. Where you go to look? You go to the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, I want you to turn there. You know, I had a tooth pulled today. Am I slurring or anything? Good. I keep having my tooth pulled. I'm going to save a lot of money on toothpaste, I'll tell you that right now. You know how much they want to do a root canal on me. I have a lot of money. Man, these pages are stuck right together. There we go. Chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. I like that last verse right there. We need the light. We talk of a world of wrong and of evil and darkness. It's a world of darkness. And you know what it needs? It needs God's light. We talk of a world of all these bad things. You and I, we've got the light of the Lord. We've got his word. We know Jesus is our Savior. We need to take that light to this world. This book, and this may, I know this, a lot of people in the world don't agree with this, but this book has a solution to the darkness of this world. It's got the answers. It has the answers for you and I as well. Do you realize in hell there is no light? Jude 13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In hell there is no light. The word of God's got the answer for the lost, and it shines our path. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, when I don't know what to do, I need to go to the Bible. The Bible is sure. The Bible shines. And thirdly, verse 20 and 21, the Bible is spirit-given. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophecy came not. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. Every word of God, first of all, let me say this, is right here. The word private there. You know what? You use Scripture to interpret Scripture. You don't take out a passage of the Bible. You don't try to prove some private interpretation apart from any other parts of the Scripture. That is a very dangerous thing to do. You can take a verse here, and you can take a verse there, and you can take a verse there, and you can pretty much make the Bible say anything that you want it to say. That's why I like preaching expositorially or textually, because I want to try to keep things to the best of my human ability, prayed up with the Lord, obviously, but still there's human in there, according to the context and the text of the Scripture. That's the best way to keep the Bible true and accurate. All false belief systems practice one here, one there, or one there. If you know your Bible well enough and you talk to a Jehovah Witness and you can answer his Bible question, it won't be two or three verses of Scripture and he'll be all kinds of confused. I had this lady come to my, I remember, forgot this, I had a good time. But these two Jehovah Witnesses came to my front door one day and they started going on and on. And they happened to be, and I don't know a lot of Greek, I don't think you need to know a lot of Greek, but I know a little. But every verse of Scripture she turned to, I says, you know, in the Greek, that there. And finally she says, you know, you seem to know an awful lot of Greek. I've never met anybody like you. I've been told that before, but anyway, not on this issue. And I says, well, I did go to Bible college. First I said, well, I try to keep up with you guys. But then I said, actually, I said, I went to Bible college and I had to take Greek. This won't shock you. I did better in Greek than I did in English. Greek makes sense. The words always mean the same thing. English, they don't mean the same thing. Oh, that's an exception to the rule. Why is there an exception to the rule? Nobody knows. But anyway, there is. So you can, if you know your Bible well, you can actually get them to stutter because all they know is a verse here and a verse here and a verse there. And if you keep things in context, because eventually they're going to get to Colossians chapter 1, and they love the book of Revelation, and they love Revelation 3:14 especially, and you're going to get there and you're going to say, hold on, let's go through this. Now, always use Scripture to interpret Scriptures, because I'm telling you, all false belief systems take one here and wrong there. And it is wrong to lift Scripture out of context and separate it from all the rest of the Bible and the context that it's in, attempting to prove a point that isn't part of God's points. That's a dangerous habit. Verse 21 says this. I got to get done here. Did it again. For the prophecy came not in time by the will of man. Now let me ask you a couple questions. How did the Bible not come? It did not come by the will of man. This isn't man's book. You say, wait a minute, 40 authors, but they were all inspired by God. This isn't man's idea, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It did not originate with man, with man's thinking. It did not come from man's thoughts. It's not the thoughts or intents of men. It is the thoughts and intents of God. They are the writings of God. So verse 21 concludes, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The true author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit of God. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? We don't know for sure. Some people guess. Some are educated guess, but there's still speculation. But it doesn't matter who the human author really is. You know what matters? It's God's word. The true author is the Spirit of God. It's sure, it's shining, and it's Spirit-given. Now, let me think about Christmas just for a moment. I don't know what made me think about this. Who conceived Mary? The Holy Spirit of God. Mary, the virgin birth. Through the virgin birth of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, God gave us a perfect Savior. And through the work of the Spirit, God gave us a perfect book. This book is Spirit-given. And when we think of interpretation, it's on the writings, or inspiration, it's on the writings, not necessarily the writer. They were sinners, but God used them to give us his word, and there is no fault in this Bible whatsoever. I have the scriptures. I have the Bible. I've got God's word. And I will say this, and I'm not going to give a lesson on this other than a little bit that I gave it a moment ago. When I pick up my King James Bible, I don't think I'm picking up a book that contains the word of God. I think I'm picking up a book that is the word of God. Some of the other translations contain sections of God's word, but I don't consider them God's word. This is God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In 1 Thessalonians, he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. In verse 21, another word is used. It says moved. That means moved alongside of. These men were moved along by the Spirit of God. So the words that they penned are, the words God wanted down. So here's why we work and give to others. That don't have Bibles. So they can have a copy of God's word like we do. I'll close with this. We have two ministries that publish God's word. In Psalm 68 and verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. We have a John and Romans ministry. Do you know some of those John and Romans we give to people? I suppose this Hungarian project that we do, they will be given out to people that'll be the only piece of Bible they have. That happens all the time in that ministry. So we have Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio, prints those signatures. We collate them and staple them and trim them and all that stuff, and then we send them out. But I don't read his letters often, but I get them all the time. But I want to remind you of Brother Ken Fielder's ministry. Brother Fielder is a guy that we support, and here's what his ministry does. Worldwide outreach. Anyway, he finds a pocket of people that don't have a Bible anywhere. So he finds some translators that will translate a Bible for them. He needs Hebrew and Greek scholars. He needs lay people that can actually make sure it's readable for the average person, and something else. And they'll take the same text that we use in the King James Bible, and they'll translate that. Now, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. Can you imagine taking let's say you spoke Italian. You speak Italian? Bummer. If you took Italian and you had to say, I'm going to translate a Bible from English into Italian. You know how much work that is? To make sure the words are right. Right. And all that. Well, Brother Fielder, that's what he does. And then he goes around and he finds teams of people and assembles teams of people together. And they begin to work on getting scriptures done. You'd be surprised at how many people in what we refer to as the 1040 window don't even have a Bible. If you said, I'm going to send them Bibles, you can't send them Bibles. There are no Bibles to send them. Now, some of them have a Bible, some of them don't have good Bibles. But we have two ministries based on the Lord gave the word and great was the company of those that published it. We want to get people the word of God. It's the word of life. It's the word of truth. It's the word of God. It never runs dry. Do you ever read your Bible through? I hope you have. If you haven't, start. And then you go back and read it through the next time and say, how did I miss that? I do that all the time. And I sit there and say, either I forgot or I just missed it. One or the other. Probably missed it. It never runs dry. You can't compare it to any other book. It is the book. And it's the book that God wants you to know. And he wants you to be sure. He wants you to be settled. He wants you to understand that it shines. He wants you to read it and study it and get to know it. And I'll say this, if I'm going to love him as I ought to, then I need to heed his word. I got to make much of the Bible. Our life is to be governed by it, and we are to let the Lord take his word. And you know, the Bible says, blessed is the man, excuse me, in Psalm 1, the blessed man does what with the Bible? Meditates. God blesses Bible meditators, people that meditate on the word of God. Let me encourage you to make much of the word of God, all right? Father, we thank you for your word. We praise your name. What a great work that you gave us when you gave us the Bible. Every person here has one, I suppose most of us, two or three or four. And Lord, it ought to be something that everybody just praises your name for. Everything we need to know about you is in that book. Everything we need to know how to live our life is in that book. Everything we need to know how to win others to Christ and build a church and witness and counsel and all the things that are necessary in the life of a believer. How to walk godly, how to walk circumspectly, teaches us all in the Bible. Lord, help us to be people that make much of the Bible. And Peter told us that once he was gone, we'd still keep things in remembrance because we had a Bible. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.